right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We have used this portion of Scripture now with a series for, I think this is lesson number 7 that we're looking at. And tonight, just for a few moments, I tried and tried to pull the third point out. I just wasn't having it tonight. I guess the Lord just needed 2 points, and I felt sorry for you. But here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we'll be looking at verses 4 through 9, and we're going to key in on verses 4 through 7, but we'll look at what the Lord has here to say, and I want to, just for a few moments, look at how to make a godly home. So we've been looking on how to keep a godly home, how to resolve conflict inside a home or a marriage, and then as we work our way through this series, how to make a godly home. There's no perfect recipe other than God's word, God's principles, God's commandments, and from many a times, I know me as a parent, and not too far into parenting, I think my oldest is 16, working on number 17, so we're getting there, but there is no perfect parent, and you make a lot of mistakes, and so you don't want to make major mistakes, bigger mistakes, but that happened as a parent, but God sets us aright. But it's important that we look at God's principles and what the Bible has to say here. And I've mentioned, I don't mean to put a disclaimer on what I'm going to say, but I don't want the attitude or the thought to come across from the pulpit that your pastor knows everything about parenting. I certainly do not. I certainly do not, and I would probably look to maybe one of the elders, older people in the church for good advice. I know what the Bible is telling us here, what he's laid on my heart, and we're going to look at that tonight, but I by no means want to send the impression that that is what I'm trying to get across. By no means, I struggle at parenting, as all parents have, but here, the Bible is not a deep mystery. It's just one of those that it has to touch your heart as a parent before it can ever affect the young heart, grab the young heart of a child or your kids or your children. And if you're not able to do that, it means that inside a parent, its parameters as being a parent, the ins and outs, the ups and downs, the wrongs and rights, at some point your heart connection with God, your Heavenly Father, is so important. And if that isn't real, if that relationship isn't real, what happens is it does teletype through the child and how that child is reared. We're going to look at a young man in the Bible, and Proverbs is what his father, Solomon, wanted him to do. And we'll look at Rehoboam, a son of Solomon, tonight a little bit further into our point. So the first point I want to put out, I'll give it to you right off the top: teach with passion. Teach with passion. If you're taking notes, so the first point is teach with passion. But let's read, and then we'll pray, and we'll get into our message for tonight. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and if you look with me in verse number 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." So here he's writing to the nation of Israel, and he's going to lay some things out. You say, well, that's for the nation of Israel. That's not for me. It's talking to parents. It's talking with children, and it definitely implies, if you fit that category, as a parent or a child or a grandparent, these are good points. In verse 5, he goes on, he says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt take of them talk of them when thou settest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and Father, we ask that you would meet with us here. I pray, Father, that you would give me the words to preach, words to say, and Father, be with my thoughts and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And Father, most importantly, though, I pray that it would go out and minister grace, Father, through the words and through what we're going to get from your word. Father, I pray not only minister grace, but edification and to build up, not to tear down, but to build up, and Father, for us to grow and to be strengthened from your word. word. Now be with those that have come out. Be with those that are watching, listening. I pray that you would suit a blessing then to them, especially tonight, and pray for them. Bless them. Watch over them that are watching and listening. And Father, we give you all the glory and honor. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I had mentioned in my morning's message about setting under an apathetic type teacher. And through my life, there's been a few times when I've been introduced to somebody and they were to teach or instruct, or you were there to learn. And so you were a student-teacher relationship. But as you got into it, it might take moments, it might take 30, 40 minutes, whatever it is, but you find something out about the instructor, the person that's doing the instructing or the teaching. And if you've ever sat under somebody who was, I put in the category of apathetic or not really believing what they themselves are teaching you, then what happens is you have a tendency not to actually believe what they're teaching. And so that is a poor teacher, an apathetic type teacher. I think from time to time as parents, we tend to do that with our children. There's so many other things that seem to cloud our importance level or our importance priority in our life as parents, and we put everything else in front of the child. We have a daily or should have a daily relationship with the child, but because that is at ease and you see that child and you're constantly interacting with that child, you think that they become less important because you have time with them, they're your child, and so you look at it a little bit differently, and you become apathetic as a parent. We can even apply this in our personal life as Christians. We become apathetic for Christ, and we miss the calls of Christ. We begin to worry about the duty of doing what we think God tells us or the Bible tells us to do, and we miss the relationship part. You say, can you have that go on? You can have that go on in a marriage. You can have your marriage propped up, and it has nothing to do really with relationship. It's weak. It's fragile. Generally, emotions come to the top, and things come to the top, all because no communication, no relationship there in the marriage. But back to the home, back to the personal life, and your relationship with God. You need a relationship with God. It's very important. Teaching God's ways to your children begins with an admonition to first love him personally and passionately. And if you look, it's in our text. If you look at verses 5 through verse 7, you're going to notice the personal emphasis before the command to teach. So it's important as parents that we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father before we ever really start to really work or attune ourselves to be better parents for our children. We think, well, the buck stops with me, so you do what I say, not as I do. And that only works till they're about 8 or 9, maybe a little older, but not much, and that won't last very long. You might, as a parent, think that it's going well because they're doing what you say. But what you've done is you've lost control of the heart of that young child. And you'll cease to implement and change and correct and make corrections for that child in a positive sense. It'll be a negative sense. And you a lot of times, if a parent's not paying attention, they won't realize it until that child is raised out on its own and it goes crazy, goes out, does whatever it wants. You're like, well, I don't know whatever happened to the child. It happened when it was 8 or 9 in those years, and you began to say, do what I tell you to do, not what I do. Don't look at my relationship. You need to worry about what I'm telling you to do. Obey, obey, obey. Well, that's only so good for so long, and then it begins to fall apart and unravel, but it starts in the heart. And the Bible warns us, in a warning, in a sense, he explains what needs to happen first. Look at verse 5 with me, and I'm saying that we need to notice that there is a personal emphasis here in verse 5 and verse 6 and 7 before the command to teach the child. Look with me in verse 5, and the Bible says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Now, that has nothing to do with the children, but in turn, it ultimately does, because how your relationship with God, your love level, your diligence, due diligence to love and serve and obey God ultimately comes down and is a pattern for the child. verse 6. And these words, what words? The words of God. Particularly, he's dealing with right here what he's nailed down. But we have the completed word of God tonight, so it's going to be the word of God. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine, say it with me, heart. And you know this to be true. If something is in your heart, the Bible speaks of where your heart is, there where your treasure be also. If your treasure is your child, and that's where your heart's at, your heart needs to be with God first. And through that relationship with God, you can have a treasure of a child and rear a child correctly in the eyes of God. And you'll always be able to attune or test yourself to the heart of that child. Because of your due diligence in verse 6, the words of God are hidden in your heart. And so then we see verse 7 as it unfolds, and that's why the first point is teach with passion. You need a passion, a passionate relationship with God. It's very important. You say, well, I don't think it matters that much. Look at our homes today. Look at our marriages today. Look at the children in the generations from where you're at back, forward, the generations in front of you, and how they've turned out compared to how you were raised. Is it getting better? Is there anybody in here thinks that this new generation is better than the generation you come from and how they were reared? No, it isn't. It's a simple equation looking at the erosion of the Western culture or America in itself. And it's sad because we've stepped, leaped, jumped, run from the principles of God. And here, two things here. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And so with that, man, you can preach a three-point message right there dealing with we don't do this as parents. We fall short. And then verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So let me say this. To teach with a passion, there's two things it's going to speak of in verse 5. You need a personal love for the Lord. A personal love for the Lord. You say, what, how, a personal love. Think of something that you passionately love. Number one, I automatically know something that if I love, I'm going to spend time with. I'm going to spend time on. I want to know something about it. I want to learn just about all I can about whatever has that captured my love in my heart. And then the third thing is it's going to take not only my time, my ability to learn something about it, but it's going to take my money. It's going to take finances. It's going to take things just to keep and maintain that relationship. With God, it's not necessarily money, but a personal love for the Lord is you're going to spend time with God. You need to spend time with God in His Word. He tells us what it is in verse 5. And He says that, look, He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. So it starts in the heart and with all thy soul. All right, that's the being part of you, and with all thy might. That's the physical part of you. That deals with your day-to-day actions or your inactions. And then you see in verse 6 what he says about these words. He says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And so we see we have an admonition, we have a commandment that we should have God's word in our heart. This speaks of a personal love for the Lord. Husbands, think of your relationship with your wife. And to know that wife, that spouse better, or to love her, you'll want a relationship with her or need one. It's kind of hard to love something if you don't have much of a relationship really with it or for it. And so we see this personal love for the Lord. First of all, it needs to be in the parent. You're not going anywhere very far with any confidence or any power or any authority or any good living principle instruction for a child if you don't first passionately love the Lord. So we see not only a personal love for the Lord, but a personal walk with the Lord in verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Not just read them and memorize them and then forget about them, but to keep them inside your heart. You have to keep continually feeding yourself these words and keep them inside your heart. So we see two things, a personal love for the Lord and then a personal walk with the Lord. One of the greatest ways for you to prove to your children that you love God is to display joyful obedience to Him. You see, a child's not going to go far with you telling it to obey when you're not simply obeying your Heavenly Father. You say, I didn't think a child could see that or notice that. Oh, yes. Because then we just talk about your parents. How well did you know your parents? Man, we could hear all kinds of stories. Good, bad, indifferent. We won't go there tonight, but you definitely knew about your parents and earlier than what your parents probably thought that they knew. But one of the greatest ways to prove to your child or your children or your grandchildren that you love God is to display a joyful obedience to Him. The Bible says this in John chapter 14, verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. That is what is going on here in Deuteronomy. We got a place here. He says, man, I want you to keep my words in your heart. I want you to have them in your heart, not only your heart, your soul, but with all of your might. It means you're going to put some effort in keeping these commandments because they're important. Why are they important? Because your child, your children need that in their instruction as they're reared or as they grow up. Let me say this, the reality is that one day your children will follow your example rather than your advice. And notice the plea, if we look at Proverbs, go over to Proverbs 23, if you turn with me, Proverbs chapter 23, we'll look at Solomon's son. We notice the plea of the father, Solomon, made to his son Rehoboam, and we'll see that unfold. But the father makes this statement in Proverbs 23, and look at verse 26, if you would. He says, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Now, just simply put, reading that as a father, I have two sons, younger sons, but it is something of a good feeling to have my son or sons listen to an instruction of a father. Fathers, your father's in here, and you've given instruction to your son. Maybe you may have an older son, but they ask for advice, or they're there, and they want your input, and so it gives you a good sense that they'll listen to what you're telling them and say, listen to what I'm saying. My father, a lot. Where my father said, look, don't be doing that. That's not, I wouldn't be doing that. And here's why. And then he'll break that down, that reason down. Or you might get, well, I'm not certain myself. I don't know. Just walk your way through it with prayer and allow God to lead you in the right direction. He might not give a good, clear direction because he doesn't know. And then on the other hand, he might say, no, here's what I would do. A lot of times my dad would say, here's what I would do. Now, I'm going to tell you what I would do. That doesn't mean that's what you do. But here's what I do. Here's my experience with what you're dealing with. And he'll go through it. Now, it could range anything from car trouble to on a spiritual level or whatever. But the father always wants the son to listen to him and what he's given, good advice. And let me say this, fathers on average, as a whole, always want to give good advice to their children. You say, well, there's a lot of fathers. I didn't get good advice from my father. Okay, I understand that. I'm not saying you had a good father. There are bad, deadbeat dads out there. I do acknowledge that. All right, and in our culture, we tend to want to champion and prop that up. And it's not healthy and it's not good for the marriage, for the home, for the whole culture, for everything. And anytime you forget God and the ways of God, you're going to end up with trouble and not in a good way. And so here we're saying, my son, give me thine heart. What I'm saying is most parents, average parents, want to give good advice to their children. I've said it in this series. Why would a parent raise you, protect you, watch over you, feed you, supply for your needs, supply for whatever part of you that you needed, and then get you up to a certain age and all of a sudden give you poor advice? They wouldn't want intentionally to give you poor advice, all right? And so parents don't know everything, all right? We're not saying that we do, but a parent generally is wiser because they've already been through what you're going through, and they'll probably advise you. Here's how I look at life. This is just a little me self. If I can get through life without making mistakes, like my father or my mother or my older brother or my sister or whoever, and they can advise me and say, don't do that, that's bad, it's going to end up well. I'm not going to say, well, I'm just going to do what I want, I'll do it anyway. I'd say, I don't want to make a big mistake, so I'm not going to do that. And so I would, that's how I thought. You say, well, then you didn't make any mistakes. No, I made a ton of mistakes. I made a ton of mistakes. But you're always looking for good advice. But here's the problem with giving good advice. Here it is. So in this verse, let's break this verse down. Solomon is saying, he's making the request. He's making the plea to his son. He said, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. You say, well, what's happening there? Well, the problem with that, the tragedy of this request in this verse, as intense and sincere as it may have been when originally given right here in this verse, is that Rehoboam did observe his father's ways. And in the end, the observation turned his steps from the Lord. He turned away from God. And he did that which was evil in the sight of God. If you do a study on Rehoboam, you say, what happened? He followed and looked at his father's ways. What happened? Listen to me carefully. His father didn't take his own advice. He didn't keep his eyes on his heavenly father. And so day after day, Solomon began to walk away from God, and he slipped into idolatry. I believe it's in my notes here, getting ahead of myself. But you'll find that at the end of his days, he was all messed up. And Rehoboam, his son, he had inclined, he had watched, he had seen, and he had seen what his dad had did, and then took his advice. And he walked and stepped away from the Lord. Let me say this, saying, do as I do, not as I do, may work for a few years while you enforce rules, but it will not cultivate hearts that follow God for a lifetime. They will only follow God until you're not in their life or you're not in control of do what I say, not what I do. And then when that's not in their life, the child figures out that they're on their own, and then they fly the coop. And so you'll find that it does not cultivate a heart, although the parent might be ignorant enough to think that they have cultivated a heart for God, and indeed they really haven't. If the child left to themselves would make the decision never to come to church, would make themselves never to read their Bible, never to pray, they only do that when they have, we call it spare tire religion, when something totally falls apart, and then they here they come. And you say, where did they get that pattern? They get it from mom and dad. And so you say, well, what's wrong with mom and dad? Mom and dad's heart is not looking at their heavenly father and obeying their heavenly father. And so we want to be mindful of this, how to make a godly home. You cannot lead your children where you or I refuse to go. We want to tell our kids to do this and to do that, but we ourselves aren't doing what we're trying to show them what to do. We'll tell them, but we're not showing them in our life. We're showing them the opposite. And I'm saying they're listening to what you're doing, not what you're saying. Children always do. They'll only listen to what you say because they're under your rule or under your house, or you have a thumb over them. And you think everything's okay because it's working out your way. When the whole time you're building a heart, a cold heart, against authority, against obedience, against a heart, a mind, and a soul towards God, because they're seeing disobedience in the parent. You say, I thought you were going to preach on children. I am. We're children. We're children of God. And we're to be that example ultimately. If you want to teach your children or grandchildren eternal truths, you must have a real personal walk with God from the heart. If you go back to Deuteronomy, that's what verse 5 is all about. Verse 5 and 6 is what he's saying here. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. So you see here that it's not the child. The child isn't brought up first. It's the heart of the parents that are brought up first. And the reason for it is because when you have a disastrous outcome, you go back to verse 5 and 6. Where does that land? How does that look like? Well, I was just living my life. I was doing the best I can. And I would fall right in that category as a parent. Sometimes you're trying to live your life, but you have a family and you have young people watching what you do. And that's why we keep saying, when we say priority, God first, family second, ministry third, we're not just saying it because it sounds good or the Bible teaches it. We're saying it because your success comes from having your priorities correct. God's got to be first, and he needs to be in your heart as a parent or a grandparent. Let me say this. Too many parents and grandparents want to know how to get their kids or grandkids to love God's word, to stay in church, and care for others. Loving God's word and having a desire to come to church and caring for others, all this is taught by example. Say, well, I lived an example. If you have that example and you have that fruit, according to the word of God, you'll produce good fruit. Good fruit does not produce bad fruit. You say, that's easy for you. It is easy for me to say right now, and it's kind of hard, but that is what the Bible is saying. Let's get to our second point, and we'll move on. Verse 6, let's look at verse 6 and 7, and I want to say secondly, here's our second point for tonight. Teach with persistency. Teach with persistency. One of the things this is one of the principles that I can recall more than most principles growing up in a home. Not saying that my home that I grew up in was perfect. It was a godly home. I had two good parents, great siblings. So I was blessed. Not everybody grows up in that situation. I understand that. Here, this principle with persistency was one that was maintained very well in the home. My parents were one day for something and then the next day against something. And you're like, what is up? Man, when you've got that going up in a home and the parents don't know where they land on a subject, but they want to enact it on a child, that brings in balance in that home. You need to have some persistence in your home. Just not persistence when you feel like coming to church, but when you don't feel like coming to church. Persistence in reading your Bible when you don't feel like reading your Bible. When you don't feel like praying. When you feel like don't want to fit because everything's falling down around you. And you say, look, no, that the fit they don't need to see. They need to see patience and love. I don't like that. Well, teach with persistency might be lacking in a lot of homes. Parents are responsible not only to teach God's word with passion, but also persistency. Look at verses 7 with me. So we see in verse 7, as he begins to unfold this diligently, teaching this, he says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And verse 6, he wants this word, these words in your heart as a parent, so you're able to teach diligently. And then he says, and shalt talk, verse 7, and shalt talk of them when thou settest in thine house. How often do you talk or discuss God's word in your home? So yeah, we talk about it, how bad it is, what we don't like about it, or whatever. It's like, that's not healthy. That does not create a healthy environment, especially for children. And he says here, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walkest by the way. How about your going about your day-to-day activities? How often does your children or grandchildren hear you speak of God or God's word or make the application? They see you make the application. Now notice here, he says, by the way, and when thou liest down and when thou risest up. A lot of times people do family devotions in the evenings. And we see that this is not a bad time to have it. And he says, and when thou risest up. I can see both my parents having that morning devotion in the morning, every morning. It might be at 4. It might be at 3. It might be at 5. But it's always before the day begins. And it wasn't long, but it was always reading their Bible or getting alone with God. And it wasn't done in a display manner. Sometimes dad would be off somewhere else or mom would be in her room. But we knew if you walk in or you go to talk to them, they have their Bible out and they're reading it. That was consistent. That was a daily thing. Even in our home, we like doing our devotions in the morning, Allison and I. And it's number one, we need it. I know I need it. But number two, it sets a precedent. It has persistent. It's persistent. Persistent, not just for show. There's parents who will just Well, I need you to see me read my Bible. So they're over there mocking down through like a Pharisee, reading their Bible or praying. That's not the time to be doing it. We need it. We're children of God. We set the example, and you personally need it. It needs to be in your heart. And here with this teaching with persistence, it needs to be in our, it needs to be real for us. It'll never be real for your child if it's not real for you. And so we see these verses describe the level of persistence with which we are to teach our children. In other words, your home is to be an ongoing school of discipleship or a Bible school. That was not uncommon. Matter of fact, it's kind of odd to sit down at a meal and not discuss the Bible or the things about the Bible. It wasn't like, okay, what are we going to talk about today? We would just start talking, and it might not be an much of agreement, but there would be a discussion about maybe the Word of God. That was very common, especially on the job site. Remember Dad hollering up to us? We was up on the scaffold working away on some big house, and he said, hey. What does he want? Well, yeah, what? He said, get his phone. Talk to him after hours. You're working. Todd and I were looking at one another. He'd always tell us that when we got to talking, rambling on about church, Bible, whatever else. We'd be talking away. We wouldn't be doing our job, our work. And Dad makes sure, hey, look, get his phone number. You can call him after hours. You know, talk to him then. Just a funny inside joke, but you want to have some persistence, especially dealing with what he says in verse 7, when thou walkest about. He said, when thou walkest about. Let me say this, under persistency, there are certain little phrases. Don't tell me, parent are really good for this, and here's the child. Don't tell me. They're going to reach a certain age where your words are not going to have a lot much meaning. Don't tell me, show me. So what you're doing is way more persuasive than what you're saying. We get so easy with words. Well, let me show you how this is done. Let me show you. And you'll get into articulating what you're trying to get across, your point. And it goes in one ear and out the other and on through. But they're going to look at everything that you do or don't do very carefully. So your actions are way more persuasive. And the thought, number one, is don't tell me, show me. What are you showing your children in your life, in your relationship with Christ? Don't demand it. Display it. A lot of times, parents, it's so much easier for us to just say, no, you just do what I'm saying, not what I'm doing. And we think, no, we're not counterdictive. We don't have a contradiction in our life, when indeed the child can see the counterdictive so easy. We're self-deceived as parents sometimes, thinking that our life is much more straighter than what it appears. And it's not very straight. Ask your child. Ask the people that would be honest with you. To be a kid from you, and they will learn how to be a parent from you. Rehoboam, when we go back and we look at him, he watched his dad play. He watched his dad turn from God to idolatry, and he watched his dad give his life to foolishness and vanity, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 17. Well, parents, we could ask our parents tonight, what kind of a kid are you with your Heavenly Father? Are you chipping away at your moral authority and influence in your child's life by disregarding your heavenly authority? Do your children see you obeying or disobeying God? So I'm obeying God. Well, how's that relationship? We want to know how to make a godly home, but when we begin to examine all the inner parts, the workings out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, 5, and 6, and 7, we begin to see, yeah, it's not complicated, but it is true. It's truthful. And if we're not truthful with our relationship with God, don't ever think that you're flying it past one of your children or your grandchildren. You don't have to say a word about it. They don't ever have to say a word about it. It's just they know in their heart that, well, mom and dad, they don't really love God. You can see it in their home over here, over there. They do this. They put this in front of this. And same for the grandparents. The grandparents will know. They'll know when you're putting on, you and I are putting on the act. Parents should heed what is being said here on making a home great, making a godly home. Teach with passion and teach with persistency. Let's all stand up this evening. We'll finish. We'll have an invitational song. Maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart. You say, well, my children are raised, but your grandchildren are not, if you have grandchildren. And they need a godly grandparent. I've heard people of grandparent status say, you know, we get to see children raised again and all the things that we probably were inadequate in and with. I can look and maybe correct some of that with the grandchildren. You certainly can. You are an influence. You are an influence. Even if you're not a parent or a grandparent, young people around you are watching what you do, where you go, what you say. But most importantly, I think the best thing that we can teach in having a passion and having persistency is having that a passion with the Lord and His Word, and having persistence with our relationship with God and with His Word. Being constant. Being constant for them. Not being wishy-washy. Children need that. That's what's lacking in our world and in our culture today. Parents don't know what they're doing, don't want to know what they're doing. They blame everybody but themselves. When God has kind of put it squarely on the parents' shoulders and say, hey, look, it's not hard. Just go my way, follow my words. But we need a relationship first so you can have a relationship with your children. Brother Jeff, what do we say?